You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
I'm so happy to be here. So glad to be back. It's an honor to be invited back. I don't take that lightly. I am Kathy Cook. Celebrate Kids is the name of our ministry, based in Fort Worth, Texas, but happy to be here in Wilmore, Kentucky today. So we're going to talk about being eagle-like. You are the Eagles, correct? So let's talk about being eagle-like. Now, more importantly than being Eagles, you're also known. Hello, freshmen. You're also renewed. Hello, sophomores. And you are beloved. Hello, juniors. Yeah, and then we have our restored seniors. I think the tradition that Asbury has to pray you into someone is so precious. Let me start by talking with you about what I do not mean about being eagle-like. And by the way, if you weren't here when I was here about a year and a half ago, these are my good shoes. I have a bad back foot and shoulder, so I sit when I speak. If it's a problem, get over it. And you can move because I'm not moving. All right, so what I don't mean by being eagle-like, ladies and gentlemen, eagles can weigh 15 pounds. The average weight of the female bald eagle is 8 to 12 pounds, and the smaller males weigh only 5 to 7 pounds. You might be on a food plan, but don't get ridiculous. Eagles have 7,000 feathers. I'm not suggesting that you sprout any. Eagles can live to be 30 years old in the wild, but 50 if you put them in a cage. I don't think we should live in cages just so that we live longer. Amen. Eagles can eat almost anything, dead or alive, from termites to dead elephants and whales. I'm not suggesting that that become your food plan either. And eagles are fully grown and ready to learn how to fly at 11 weeks. Fully grown at 11 weeks. I don't know what you think about that, but I don't think that's a good idea for humans. I like that moms and dads have years and years and years to invest in your development, as do professors and teachers and coaches as others. But what do I mean by being eagle-like? I want us to recognize and I want us to trust in the qualities of God that are eagle-like, and I want us to be eagle-like for ourselves and for the people in our lives. Several qualities that we're going to look at today about being eagle-like. First of all, eagle-like care and courage during risk-taking. An eagle cares for the young, and an eagle establishes courage in the young so that they can take risks, and I think that that describes the God of the Bible for us. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 11, God uses an eagle analogy, a powerful imagery of an eagle that is teaching its young how to fly, and it's God's care for Israel. So if you go to Deuteronomy 32:11 later, you'll see that it's an analogy of the eagle written in the context of how God cares for and guides Israel. We learn that God cares for us like an eagle cares for the young. God cares for us as we grow. He cares for us because he wants us to grow. And ladies and gentlemen, I think he cares so much that he causes us to grow. How many of you have grown in some way because God wanted you to, even though you didn't want to? Anybody willing to admit that? Like you were resistant? No, I'm good here, leave me alone. But God swooped in and said, oh no, your time has come. Let's take care of that little fault that you have, or little flaw that you have. An adult eagle cares for its young while causing, not just allowing, the young to grow. I love that God is active like that. I love that God is observing us and deciding for us who we could become, that we're not even aware that we could become. He observes us. I want you to listen and see if you agree that God has been like an eagle for you. And a parent eagle carefully observes the eaglets. They're sitting in the nest. They're so happy there. And when an eagle decides that an eaglet is ready to learn how to fly, the adult eagle stirs the nest. This is what it says in Deuteronomy 32:11. So the parent eagle takes its very strong talons and stirs the nest and gets rid of the comfortable green leaves on the top of the nest where the baby is so comfortable, and brings to the surface of the nest the dead twigs and the dead leaves so that it's not so comfortable anymore, so that the baby eagle is more willing to leave. This is Deuteronomy 32:11. And by the way, if the stirring in the nest doesn't convince the baby that its time has come to leave the nest, the parent eagle will tip the baby out of the nest. The parent eagle will take its 7-foot wing and take the tip of the wing and boop, just boop that baby right out. And that baby doesn't have a choice now. So you're either going to get out because God pushes you out, or you're going to get out because you know you're supposed to get out, one way or the other. You can't stay in the nest. Can you picture like a 32-year-old eagle in a nest waiting to be fed by the mom who's now dead? Like, it would not be good. But the baby's just there. The baby's suntanning. The baby opens its mouth, squawks, and the food is dropped in. All of their needs are being met until the parent decides your time has come. The eagle does not wait for the eaglet to ask to learn how to fly. The eaglet is so comfortable. God knows when it's our time to move on. Eaglets need to learn how their wings work. And they need to know how their wings work with the wind. And it starts, I don't know if you've ever seen movies or video or pictures of little eaglets trying to learn how to fly, but they start by hopping. So they're just laying in their nest, they're so content. And then they follow the model of the mom and the dad, and they start to hop. It's hysterical. They're in their nests, by the way, are big. And they're in the nest, and they're hopping to try to figure out, how high can I go, and what will the wind do if I spread out my wings, or if I keep my wings in, what's going to happen to me? And then they fly, and they might fly at first only 2 or 3 feet. The parent eagle directs the baby. The parent eagle, God for you, the parent eagle has maybe gone over to a different cliff or a different tree or a different branch of the same tree where the nest is squawking and inviting the baby to follow. Come here, come here, come to me. It's kind of like when you all learned how to walk. The first time you tried it, by the way, you did fall down. Failure has been a part of your life. Mistakes do happen on the way to progress, amen? And when you fell down the first time, mommy didn't say, wait 5 years until you're perfect. No, your mom knew you would fall down. Because you had never walked before. You don't have to be afraid of learning new things. If you're with people you can trust. And what your mom and dad did was they held you up and they settled your feet and they stood a few feet away and they held out their arms and they smiled, come to mama. And then somebody took a picture and bragged about your attempt to learn something to the whole world. And then we get hard on ourselves and we're so afraid to try. I so appreciate this analogy that the eagle forces the eaglet to get out of the nest. The parent knows what is best. In the analogy, God knows what is best. He knows if we've plateaued. He knows if we've gotten complacent and lazy and prideful. I'm good here. Just leave me alone. I'm good enough here. I know enough verses. I know enough truth. I pray enough. I'm wise enough. I love well enough. But oh, the eagle is observing the eaglet and has decided your time has come. The parent eagle is constantly aware. And he will catch the baby on its wings if necessary. So the baby's hopping, and then the eagle's over here, and the baby flies 2 or 3 feet or hops as far as it can. And then if the baby gets distracted, the eagle doesn't ever get distracted. But the baby might panic, and the baby might get distracted, and the baby might not have out its wings so that the wind will carry it. And so the eaglet tumbles, but the parent's right there. And the parent eagle will do a power dive and catch that baby on its wings and take it back home where it will be safe, only for an instant. Because the parent eagle knows, if I let that baby like hang out there too long, it's going to cling to the nest. So I'm going to drop it in, and then I'm going to tip it right back out. Does that describe you? Has God made things a bit uncomfortable for you? Is he inviting you to leave the nest? Or perhaps you feel him pushing you out of the nest? I was a content professor. I'm a former teacher of second graders, a former coach, a former school board member, and earned a PhD, was a professor at a secular university for 7 years. I was popular in man's eyes. I was good at what I did. I liked what I did. I was content with my church. I was close to my family. I liked it there. And then all of a sudden, almost overnight, I didn't like it as much anymore. And it was scary. I thought that had been where I had been called to. I worked hard for the PhD. And I worked with Christian students on a secular campus. I thought it's what I was supposed to do. And God stirred the nest. And the things that had caused contentment were no longer a part of my life story in the moment. And it was scary, weird. But look what the Lord has done. Because I was able to be obedient. The Holy Spirit, isn't he direct? How many of you have been directed by the Spirit? Like, I pray you know his voice. Thank you for acknowledging that. I pray that you know his leading. And I pray that you're obedient and that you get out of the nest. So my nest was stirred. I'm not as content anymore. I ask questions of the right people, and the rest is history. I earned tenure and then I quit. No one does that, by the way. You know, tenure gives you a job for life. I'm actually not a fan of tenure because it can create laziness. Not here, because this is Asbury, hello. But in some places, it can really create a lazy satisfaction. It scared me. I didn't want to do that. I do things for an audience of one. What about you? And I care deeply that I not plateau, that I not become mediocre, that God would be displeased with my choices. But it would have been easy to become that because of the people that I was surrounded by. So I'm actually grateful that the Lord moved me on. But in the moment of the nest stirring, it wasn't fun. It wasn't fun, but it was right. Obedience is right. I remember, after I quit my job, they did not fill my position for 2 years. I moved. I was in Green Bay, Wisconsin, so I am a Packer backer. I was a professor in Green Bay. I moved to Fort Worth, Texas to start my ministry. And for 2 years, they did not fill my position because they thought I would fail and come back. And like, first of all, I'm not going to fail. And second of all, if I do, I'm not coming back here. Like, I'm not coming back with my tail between my legs. Like, go hire someone and treat the students, you know, in the right way. But it was a challenging season, but obedience is right. I remember telling the academic vice chancellor, you can't bribe me back. I didn't leave because I'm unhappy. I left because I cannot stay. And one of the things that I've learned in my life, and I've been a believer a long time, and praise God you're here. Praise God that you're spiritually directed. Some of you are still searching. Many of you have found the one true God and have an identity in Christ, which is the most important identity you'll ever have, is Jesus. I was going to say something else. I wonder what it was. It was going to be good. Profound, possibly. It'll come back to me. Just being honest. Is authenticity a value that you appreciate? Just going to be authentic. You don't have to like it. Some of you are laughing. That's appropriate. Thank you, Spirit, just reminding me of what I was going to say. If you're quiet and wait, he's very faithful. I learned in that season of life, ladies and gentlemen, that you don't have to fail for God to move you on. He doesn't have to close a window to open a door. I could have stayed. They wanted me to stay. My students loved me. I enjoyed being there. I loved being a professor. I was geographically close to family. It would have been so easy to stay, but it would have been wrong. If you've left the nest, maybe you feel like you're tumbling over and over and over again because you don't know what you're doing yet, but you've never hit the ground and died, correct? You've never hit the ground and died, and God won't let you. God is a faithful, good God, amen? He'll do a power dive. He is watching you. He is not going to stir the nest, and he's not going to tip you out prematurely. He waits for that baby eaglet at 11 weeks. They know their wings are strong enough. Their wings are dry enough. They know that their legs are strong enough for them to hop. They know that they can do it. The eagle leaves the eaglet there until the eaglet is ready, and God will do that for us, amen? So if the nest is being stirred, and you're like, wait a minute, trust the Lord. And I'm not saying that's always easy, but for us to have an attitude of submission and to value the faith that we have in the God of the Bible, and you can rely not just on God, but you can rely on friends here, professors here, family members who can be eagles. How many of you have eagles in your life on earth? Anybody? People, yeah, look at that nodding, and thanks for participating. Some of you have admitted, yeah, you're surrounded by eagles, roommates and classmates and committee members and people who care. But this being pushed out, it's repeated and repeated and repeated until the baby finally learns how to fly. God is so faithful. He'll do that power dive. And like I said, he'll tip you right back into the nest because he wants you to learn what you need to learn. How does it happen? How does the baby learn how to fly? Well, the adult eagle, God in the analogy, is confident in its 7-foot wingspan and ability to protect the eagle. The eaglet learns how to fly because the eagle is going to protect the eaglet, and the eaglet knows it. The adult is not afraid to share or to teach. If God stirs your nest and he's showing you that he wants you to do something different this coming summer, or major in a different major, or sign up to be a part of a team here, or do a missions trip that you've never done before, or join the summit program, or do whatever it is that might be new for you, the adult is not afraid to share, and the adult is not afraid to teach you. He will be faithful to you. The adult eagle is confident in you, or you would still be in the nest. When my nest was stirred, and I'm thinking, what the heck? What's up with this? You guys, like ministry? What would that be like? Oh, to know that the adult eagle is confident in me in the moment. The lessons occur when the eaglet is ready, not too early, never too late. The adult eagle does not expect perfection on the first try, and either does the eaglet. The eaglet is clueless. The eaglet is sunbathing. The eaglet is squawking and being fed. The eaglet has like life. It's just like perfect until it's not anymore. And a lot of us don't even know what to ask for. It's just, it's submission. It's yielding to God. It's believing that God knows more about who you could be than you realize about yourself. Remember always, you guys, that God is not looking for perfection. He's not looking for perfection. Perfection has been done. His name is Jesus. And if you think perfection this side of heaven is possible, you're on your way to hell. Because you're thinking, I'm the one unique person who doesn't need to be saved from anything. I'm amazing. Have you met me yet? The eagle observes for and the eaglet expects progress. So therefore, discouragement does not set in. God's looking for obedience and God's looking for faith. God's looking for confidence in Him and God's looking for growth. And our faith grows when we dare, yes? Yes or no? Yes. How many of you have done experiences that were new to you, like a mission experience or even coming to Asbury, and it has grown your faith? Would you just raise your hands? Just thanks for participating. Yeah. So what are we afraid of? Faith is such a beautiful thing. The adult eagle does not allow the eaglet to fail. The eagle cannot be distracted. If the parent eagle stirs the nest and invites the baby to hop out or fly out, the parent eagle cannot be distracted. It won't see anything or hear anything that will remove its eyes from that baby eaglet. That baby is the responsibility of the parent. That's God for you. He won't be distracted. If he tips your nest and stirs your nest and invites you to grow up, he will keep an eye on you. Trust is established. They both work at it. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, the eaglet works at it. The eagle works at it. They understand that effort is necessary. One of the things that concerns me about the younger generations is the lack of effort. Maybe you're uniquely different because, again, you're here at Asbury, but technology has taught a lot of us that everything should be easy, about me, entertaining, fun. Not all of life is. Read the Proverbs. I dare you. A lot of verses in there about the benefit of hard work. They practice flying. It's real and it's relevant. They don't talk about flying. They don't diagram how flying works. They don't analyze flying. They don't analyze wind current. They fly. If you want to get out of the nest, get out of the nest. Amen? Talk about it, learn about it, diagram it, do all those things if you want, but then get out and fly. And one of the things that's so beautiful is that the parent eagle flies alongside. When the eaglet increases its ability to fly and begins to move beyond the 3-foot flight and the 4-foot flight and begins to understand how the wind works with the wings and it actually goes off on its own, the parent eagle does not stay in the cliff and go, oh, look at my baby way over there. The parent eagle is flying alongside the baby and with its wings creating the wind that keeps the baby in the air. But we're looking down. The ground is coming. I'm about to die. You know, if we would look up, we would see the one who won't let us die. We need to be humble and keep learning. Amen? I hope that's relevant to you. We got to get out of the nest. Some of you are hanging on. Like, you got your talents and you're hanging on? He stirred the nest, but you're thinking, I know more than you know, and you're hanging on. He'll do like one finger at a time. You might as well just let go. Amen? How many of you have tried that? It doesn't work. Just let go and let God. He can handle it. I want to talk with you for a few minutes about the energy and the strength that we get from the eagle. We heard the verses read this morning. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5 teach us that God does amazing things. He forgives our sins. He heals our diseases. He redeems our life from the pit. He crowns us with love and compassion. He satisfies our desires with good things. Why does he do that? So that my youth is renewed like the eagle's. He does the good things that he does for us so that our youth is renewed like the eagle's. An eagle's youth is renewed sometimes with new feathers and even a new beak, and then they can live 50 more years. How should we respond to the goodness of God for us? By becoming new. We get God's energy. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He will not grow tired of you. Oh, praise the Lord. We need God's strength, yes? We need his energy. We need his strength. Isaiah 40, 29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Don't be afraid of weakness if you go to God with it. You know that. You've studied this. There's no burden beyond his strength. Step into it and trust him. And how do we get the energy and how do we get the strength? By, of course, as you know from verses 30 and 31, by hoping in God, or in some translations, waiting for God. And then we learn here that youths who grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in or wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. When you hope in God and wait on God, you will. And there's no comma except you in the Bible. So when you're out of the nest and you're learning something new that God's imparted to you as his best for you in the season, he will renew your strength and you will soar, etc., etc. Eagles fly and look right into the sun. Eagles have two eyelids, and they can lower the one that acts like our sunglasses act, and they can fly right into the sun. Are you flying up to your sun, the sun? Don't hope in me or your professors, your parents, yourself, your peers, or Asbury, but you hope in God. Amen. How do we get the energy and the strength? Again, by hoping in God, by waiting for God. It's a Hebrew word that means to be intertwined with him so closely that you're not alone when you wait. Hebrew word kava means to be intertwined with God's truth, with your mind, will, and emotion, so that when you're waiting on God, you're intertwined with him. Waiting is active responsiveness to who God is. It is not passive. And when you're waiting on God, not yourself, but you're waiting for God to show up for you, you're intertwined and never alone. I wear, all my rings are meaningful to me, but this is my twine ring. This is a ring that looks like twine, and it's my reminder constantly, am I waiting on God? And if I am, I'm intertwined, his will with mine, his thoughts with mine, and I'm not alone. There are advantages of hoping in God and waiting for God. It says we get renewed strength. Eagles can fly at 100 miles per hour, and they average 120 miles per hour with the right wind. They can strangle an animal four times their weight. Eagles are strong. We're promised renewed strength. Renewed strength. You'll always have it if you wait on God. Does your prayer life indicate that you're waiting on God and hoping in God? It says in the scripture that we get to soar on wings like eagles. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad we're not told that we're going to soar on the wings of mosquitoes. We would not go far. But eagles have 7,000 feathers. They have a 7-foot wingspan. They can fly and never flap their wings. They catch the wind. They actually purpose themselves on the cliff or at the top of the tree, and they get their wind, their wings ready to get the draft, and they go and they fly, and they never have to flap. And some of us are like... You hope in God, and you wait on God, and your prayer will tell you if you are. The way you handle scripture will tell you if you are. And then you get to soar. The rougher, by the way, it gets, the happier the eagle is, because the higher it goes and the further it can go. Wings like eagles, not mosquitoes. There's other scripture you can read about that. We run without going weary, and we walk and we're not faint. So do you hope in Christ? Do you look back on your life to see the goodness of God? Do you pray and then ask God for answers and remember the answers so that you can hope in God? Do you see him in your past so that you can go, wait a second, he's been there for me before, why wouldn't he be there for me now? And I want to close my time with talking with you briefly about the vision of an eagle. So I've shared with you that they care for you. Eagles care for the young. God, in this analogy, cares deeply for you. He doesn't want you to stay in the nest. When he created you on purpose, with purpose, for purpose, and when you become who he thought you would be, you make him look so good. But you've got to get out of the nest. You got to try new things, and you've got to become new. And part of that is the vision. Eagles have amazing vision. God has amazing vision. Does it scare you or does it delight you that God can see all of you all the time, the inside and the outside? A person with normal eyesight can see a small object an inch long at a range of about 30 yards away, but an eagle can see the same object if it's 120 yards away. Eagles can see objects the size of a small rabbit that's 2 miles away. Eagles can spot birds flying 40 miles away. flying at 600 feet elevation. Now, this is scary. I'm 6'1", so picture about 100 of me. That's how high up the eagle is. And that eagle that's flying at 600 feet elevation can survey 4.5 square miles. Eagles see what they need to see. God sees what he needs to see. Flying at 600 feet elevation, eagles can spot an object the size of a dime moving through 6-inch grass. The grass is 6 inches tall. The object is the size of a dime. The eagle is 600 feet up, and the eagle sees it because the eagle's looking to see what it needs to see. And eagles, believe it or not, can see fish that jump out of lakes that are 3 inches long and the lake is 5 miles away. The eagle is 600 feet up. The fish is 3 inches long. The lake is 5 miles away, and the eagle sees it because the eagle's looking to see what it needs to see. The eagle sees you, and he knows where you are, and he knows what you're trying to do, and he'll do the power dive, and he'll give you the example and the role model that you need so that you can be successful if you get out of the nest. And if you choose in humility to become more like the eagle, you can't be excellent on your own. You can't be faithful on your own. You can't be loving on your own. You can't be righteous on your own. You can't be without God. I hope you know that in the knowing of you knowing that he wants to be your everything. Provides the role model, provides the power dive, provides the timing, and some of us are clinging. Not me, not now. Oh, to trust him. So good. You must be an eaglet. Let God be your eagle. Let the eagles here come alongside of you. I had eagles in my life. God was stirring my nest when I was a professor, and I had family and my pastor and friends who affirmed what I was sensing from the Lord, that my time at the university was finished, even though I thought I had been called there forever. Perfection is the destination. Excellence is the journey. Travel in faith. Father God, it's been a delight to be here this morning, and I pray that I've said something that's beneficial, that the students and even staff, faculty, and those online have maybe heard a reminder that they have plateaued, or they have not trusted, or they have not risked, and you've reminded them through the analogy of the eagle that you will always be there to teach us and show us and model for us who it is that we could become if we were humble and willing to be obedient. So, Father God, I pray that this message will stick, that the things I said that are true, they will not forget, and that you will encourage them to become more like you as they leave the nest. We thank you for your word and for this analogy, and I pray with gratitude in the name of Jesus. Amen.